Hello, everyone. Good morning. Top of the morning to you. Welcome to River City. If you're new here, if this is your first time, we're glad you're with us. If you're watching on live stream, good morning. Grace and peace to you. We are going to go ahead and read our lectionary passage. So if you would, feel free to stand with me. A couple people making their way in. Everybody take a big deep breath together and let it out. God's not in a hurry, so we don't have to be. Amen. Psalm 98 says, "Sing a new song to the Lord, for he has performed wonders. His right hand and holy arm have won him victory. The Lord has made his victory known. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his love and faithfulness in the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen our God's victory. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Be jubilant. Shout for joy and sing. Sing to the Lord with the lyre and melodious song, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout triumphantly in the presence of the Lord, our King. Let the sea and all that fills it, the world and all those who live in it, resound. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains shout for joy together before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth, and he will judge the world righteously and the peoples fairly." So while I was reading this morning, I was just thinking about sometimes I don't feel like singing joyfully or jubilantly. I got it. Jubilantly. Sometimes it's really hard because life is hard. And I'm very hyper aware that some of us come in with really heavy things that we carry. And it feels really hard to enter into a joyous space. However, I was reminded that this is the beauty of the kingdom and community of God, is that when I don't feel like it, somebody next to me might. And I can lean into their joy when I don't feel like it. And that doesn't mean I have to leave my grief and my sorrow or my doubts and my questions behind. It just means I get to lean in to the truth of God. And that even if I don't feel it, he is still here. Because he's Emmanuel. He's God with us. Amen. So today, this is your invitation to worship. We're going to have some fun this morning. You all look asleep. It's going to be great. Jesus, I pray that you would come be with us today. Better yet, I just ask that you would open our eyes to see what you're already doing. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence. Thank you that the invitation to us today is that this does not have to be just a thing we show up to do every week, that we can leave transformed today. Holy Spirit, come and do what you want to do because you are God and we are not. And all God's people say, amen.
You can just stay standing. We're going to step into prayers of the people, but first I just want to give you the opportunity to give thanks with your voice in a way that's specific to what God has done for you. We're going to take a few moments to just create some space for that. God been for you? If you can put words to that, you can say it out loud in this group in the presence of these people for the next few moments. Thank you. we just say, thank you, Jesus. I'm thankful that you're real and that you're present. You're in this sanctuary. And you're drawing us to you. We thank you, Jesus. All right, so we're going to keep going in Hebrews. I'm going to give you just a little bit of a recap of what's happened so far. I'm going to read it to you. It was quoted this week better than I can share it on my own. So you can pull up that first. This is the idea about how in this text, the voice of God is highly emphasized from chapter 1, and it continues through. So the whole opening of the letter to the Hebrews recounts the power of God's voice and how human beings respond to that power. As God has spoken of old, so now God has spoken to us by his Son, Jesus. We are admonished to pay attention to what we have heard so that we will not drift away from the message of salvation. This message was declared through the Lord, attested by those who heard him. God testifies through signs, wonders, and miracles. Those who have heard the message, Jesus calls sisters and brothers and proclaims to them the name of God amid the worshiping congregation. Jesus is the high priest of our confession. That is, what we profess through faith, we are told to exhort one another daily, just as the Holy Spirit has exhorted us. Today, if we hear his voice, do not harden our hearts. We talked about, in the beginning of this passage, it mentions all of the Old Testament fathers and the prophets and how they were speaking as messengers of God, as someone who has a part of the message, told to go and do it. And then in Jesus, we receive the message, so the words aren't just a message from God. He literally is the embodiment of the whole of the message. And not only that, but to put your full faith in that, not just in the Moses or angels it even talks about, but in Jesus. So it's a real strong exhortation to put all that you have within the framework of Jesus and what he presents. It's asking us to follow him wholeheartedly, to base your life around what this gospel through Jesus is. And so I wanted to remind you of that today, because last week and the week before, the Old Testament scriptures were brought in to show how the Hebrew community had a chance of wandering similarly like the children of Israel did in the Old Testament. So we walked through how Joshua and that community of people came real close to the promised land, but got close enough. Some spies came back with a message that were actually lies. They decided to not enter the land, so they wandered for a long time. And in their wandering, they couldn't receive the rest. And the rest that Hebrews is asking us to enter is the same rest that's been available from the beginning after the sixth day of creation. And it's even available now in Jesus. And so, to me, I notice my own wandering spirit or the idea of never settling or even understanding when I'm really busy. And so, what I'm hoping happens today in this passage is an invitation, two invitations. Number one, the ability to be open about where you really are, who you really are. And number two, the hope that you would receive every bit of grace and mercy that is allotted to you. Those are the two prayers today coming from the text that I'm going to read you. And this is the next text along the Hebrews journey. This is 4:11 through 16. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him whom we must give account. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. If you'll pray with me, Jesus, I thank you that your word is more than just lines on a page. that it's alive, that it is moving. It's discerning even in this room. It's bringing truth to each of us as we stand before it, gather around it, talk about it, study it, meditate on it, give it space. It breathes. It breathes life and truth. And we thank you that we get to do that today together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this is basically saying that the road to rest is built around belief. And the idea of holding on to or gripping to the confession of faith. And it gives two examples here of how to do that. One, the word. You're all familiar with this. You've been a part of churches. And two, prayer. And while I don't think conversation about prayer and conversation about scripture is bad, what I think is being emphasized here is something deeper about those. It's being involved in prayer and involved in scripture, giving it the kind of space that it needs to breathe. And so the idea to start is one that may be troubling for some, but hold on to your confession of faith. Hold on to what Jesus has said. We read the Apostles' Creed a few weeks ago, or the Nicene Creed, any of these creeds that speak of the truth of what Jesus came and did. The word here is specific to Jesus and how the ancient scriptures actually are revealed in Jesus and how that flows together. They go together. But the word has come, and what this new text, this we're reading this week, is saying is now that the word has come, do not disregard it. This account of Jesus. The word for the Jewish community was different than the way that we think about it. The word that was spoken, they believed had an existence outside of being connected to the human that spoke it. The word became something that now exists in community. We talked about this when my friend Dr. Johns comes and she preached on prayer, talked about every prayer from every century, from every saint that's ever been prayed is still alive, still reverberating throughout history. There's not a shelf life, right, to prayer. And the Jewish community was said words spoken out would have had the same kind of thing. They now exist and live the power of word, right? Especially the word of God, which is now being presented to them in Jesus. And so how much more important would it be to hear the word and then to absorb the word and then to grasp the word and live the word. That's why to me this space is not just a person sharing their thoughts, but it's an opportunity for a window into a living word that's brought to life because the scriptures are living. And so this space, whether it's communion or the word or prayer or the songs we sing, should bring people into that living word so that the word can be alive among the people. The word is important. The word is more than just something that is quoted. It's more than something that's studied or read. The word is actually Jesus. Jesus, living word. He is alive through us now that we are the body. And so to me, I think I want to talk a little bit about how there's, in this passage, there's two really different kinds of things happening. There's a really hard word at first that talks about the power of the word. It uses a word like effective. Can you pull up the definition for effective really quickly? Effective means successful in producing a desired or intended result or fulfilling a specified function, in fact, though not formally acknowledged as such. Effective. The word is effective, which is highlighting that in each historical community that takes the word and actually holds to it, that there is actually a different thing that happens because of that. There's actually result because of that. The second thing this mentioned is penetrating, and it gives some really troubling. It's my only experience I've ever had reading a commentary where I almost threw up and passed out. And it's because it talked about how one of the people who were kind of giving their insight talked about how there was a knife one time that was so sharp that, and I already feel, oh my gosh, close your ears. You will pass out. He said he had this sharp knife and it like did that and he felt like he got tickled. Oh my gosh. And he looked down and there's literal blood just shooting out of it. It was so sharp, it felt like he got tickled. And then his leg was opened up. So this specific, I'm sorry. I had like a 30-minute moment where I had to step away from reading and breathe because I was feeling so sick. Because that just makes me sick. But
and then just cutting yourself and not knowing it. But this brings such valuable insight to us. And it talks about the sinews and the joints. These are things I would not know how to walk up to you and go, I'm cutting your sinews and your joints. It's saying this, sometimes when we don't think the word is working, even though we don't experience it as a feeling, it has the ability and the power to find its mark. So much so that you might not even feel it, but I'm telling you, there's blood squirting out of it. Like, no, I took it too far. It has eyes because the eyes it has are directly from the Creator, God, through Jesus, to find its mark. So when we sit before it, whether in recent years I'm thankful, I've enjoyed that. I've enjoyed reading it in community and letting it in. There have been many times where I've sat in front of the Word and thought, I don't know why I'm reading this. I literally feel nothing. I'm just getting annoyed at what I'm reading. I don't even want to take time in it. I'm just trying to crank through it, check it off. I'm out of here. The word has the power of the full gospel, and it comes in ways we have no idea it's impacting. It's powerful. It cuts to the depths of us. It also talks about a word that is literally, it has a three kind of pronged meaning, but the idea of being laid bare or naked. And there's three historical examples of where this word came from. The first one is to clutch someone's throat so much that they can't move. It's not pleasing to hear that, but more pleasing than what I'm about to say. The second one is to fillet an animal delicately, wide open. I told you last week my favorite show right now is Homestead Rescue, and you got to learn how to do that stuff if you want to live. The third one is by far the most troubling, when they would take someone to execution in the ancient world, they would sometimes hold a dagger under their throat. So that, because a lot of times when that was happening, it was for some shameful reason, so that they would do this, so that their way to not have them do that was to hold a dagger under their throat. So the idea is all are seeing the shame of what is happening. Pretty troubling, right? But so this is brought into context of the power of the word is, what it's saying is this, in the presence of the word, it has the ability to lay us bare, inwardly and outwardly. It shows the depths, right? It shows what's truly in us. It shows what's hidden in us. And a lot of times, it shows what we don't even know we're hiding. So we wrestle with it. I can think of times in my history of trying to study in the faith. As you step into Christianity, you're not a full-on disciple. You have so much of the previous world inside of you that it takes time. Like the Egyptian community that the Israelites had to leave, it took them time, right, to be weaned off the appetites from that city. And it's the same with us. But I think about the times when I've sat down and I've read the word easily. The first times I read the word were I feel a tremendous amount of shame. Everything I'm reading seems to talk about a person I am not. I also connected it to the community of Christians around my life at that time, so I was bringing that in. So to me, it was not pleasant, but it's discerning me. So I'm sitting and reading it, and I'm instead of thinking something's wrong with me, it's discerning. You still have these appetites that want to punish everyone. Can you hear what I'm saying just for a moment? You still live in a framework that thinks everything is punishable because the culture of the world is be punished, do well, succeed, be the best, work your hardest. So as you sit in the text, it's throughout your life, it's reading who you are as well. There's times when I've read it and been like, this is literally the most boring thing I've ever sat through. It's not that it is, it's reading that I need to be entertained. That I've taken in so much content so quickly that when I sit before the living word of God, it's not that the living word is boring, it's reading me. It's that I have too much coming in and I'm too busy. So I can't even drink from the well that it is at that moment. But it's not a bad thing, it's just reading where I'm at. So when we read the text, it has the power. The living power of God to go in deeper than you're expecting. It's not something where we just read it and say, that was good, check that box, don't do that. It's trying to sharpen us, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. I don't love that language, but I can tell you this, there's really no need for the depth of the kind of grace and mercy that is coming our way if that doesn't happen to show the need for it. So we have a problem with being laid bare in community or before God because the truth of who we are is painful. But that pain and that honesty is why that next portion is so beautiful. And if we can't allow the word to read us so deeply that we're laid bare and naked, then we can't receive the grace that is just that much bigger than that nakedness. Does that make sense? It's very important. So is the word of God troubling? Yes, it is. It's troubling. It's also troubling how full of grace it is. But I don't want to be the kind of person that tries to live in a grace when I'm not giving God my true, this is who I am. That's uncomfortable. That's what I believe this text is saying to us, is allow yourself to be laid bare. What's truly in you is what's truly going to be healed. And as you make peace with that, the reception of Jesus is rest. Think about the times in your life where you've been able to say to a person or a people, here's where I really am. Here's what I'm really struggling with. Here's what's really happening. And when grace is brought or afforded on that by a community of people, how much stronger you are connected to that. And the thing about this is, Jesus is our high priest, which is another way of saying Jesus has actually been given the task to bring the voice of God to us. So imagine Jesus coming to us and saying, this is the voice of God. I am this voice of God. And then the second task is to take that group or individual into the presence of God. The voice of God, the presence of God, he's also come through earth and passed through the heavens. He's otherly. He is also the person that you want to talk to because he's faced exactly what you face. This is the part I can't really wrap my head around, is that Jesus is tempted beyond any way that we've ever been tempted. We reach a point in temptation where it becomes too much, right? And the goal of Christianity is not to never struggle with temptation again. It's that that place of brokenness is somewhere Jesus has already been, but he's gone even farther. It even said sin, he's sinless. So Jesus has faced the kind of level of temptation that we will never actually face. So when I need help with something, when I need help with knowing how to have empathy, I ask Sarah, because she has great empathy with people. When I need help knowing how to, I find the person who is farther along than that with me. What it's saying is our high priest is farther along in being able to live this. So that's why it's important that I am now following and going to this high priest who has done all of that. And then this high priest also gives us what we need in the time that we need it. This is a beautiful way of saying, why would you do anything else, right? I have this picture in my mind of what does it look like for us to actually wander. And I think wandering for us is staying busy. Just staying in that middle space, not interacting with where I'm really at and not interacting with what I really need. Let's just get busy and go forward. Check the boxes, do the things, make the money, build the thing, have the conversation, 6 coffee dates, move on. I feel like I'm struggling. Don't pay attention to that. I feel like I have need. Don't pay attention to that. I'm broken in this way. Don't want anybody to know it. Could cost me a lot. Don't pay attention to that. Just keep busy. Keep going. I think the meaning here is the community of Jesus, this Hebrew community, he's saying to them, you have to re-grasp why you're here. Anytime in history a community has connected themselves with Jesus, the Word, things have changed. I'm really taken back by the idea of Josiah in the Old Testament. It hasn't left me this week. I shared this morning, but you remember 2 Kings 22. Josiah is made king when he's 8, 18 years after that. He had faithful parents. It throws that in there, faithful parents. But Josiah is just doing the temple work. And as they're doing the temple work, the word of God has not been present for 60 years. I can't even imagine, in the temple. And so they're doing their work. They're cutting cedars. They're cleaning it up. The priest finds the law, the Deuteronomy. And it's like, we found the scriptures. They take it to the king, and it's read before Josiah. And Josiah is so moved by it, he starts to tear his clothes and weep. And then he brings it to the community, and the word is brought to life in such a way that they restructure the temple. There's literally people tearing out the gods that they brought in there. So in this temple, they actually brought in all these other things. But it took the word to be found to show them, this is the way. This is what we do. And part of Deuteronomy is the idea, serve no other gods, right? Like the one true God, follow the one true God. So he basically says, I will do whatever. I will do whatever this is saying. He's always wanted to do the right thing, but didn't know what it was. I can't imagine that long of a period where the temple priests didn't have access to the word of God. But I think we can all imagine how that can happen, even for us today. So I love the picture of Josiah finding it and becomes effective to that community. They realign what the sanctuary is supposed to be like. God honors him and says, I will now not let you die and see all of this, but I will bring your family to rest because he says, this is what we're going to do. The word is effective and powerful. It can also be hidden, but there's always a path for the word. Maybe for me to think the word is hidden. This is where it gets too poetic. I'm not a poet at all, but we're the temple, right? Like, we don't visit the temple. Even this, we're the temple. Within this temple is the word of God, the guiding post. Is it, would we even say that? Would we say, no, I've historically enjoyed reading the word. I know it's important, but it really is more of a like, I will give it space and it can impact how I'm going to live. But is it like, no, this is what we're doing, right? Lots of other questions just surfaced. That's good. Is it that in this temple? That's what I want. That's what I want. I want to leave my family. I want it to be, and that might cost me a lot, right? That might cost me a lot because this is not going to just do all the things I want it to do, right? This is not going to just produce what I want. I don't just come and tell this, we're going to build a mega church. It's going to be beautiful. Really famous people everywhere. The whole Atlanta Braves team will be here. I would actually want that. I'm just going to throw that out there. So if you play for the Braves, it's nothing personal. All of Alabama's team, they need me this morning. Like they could come here. That's not what I get to do. I get to be a faithful steward of the temple. And the temple is not mine. It's the Father's. And the way that we do that is dependence upon Jesus and the word. And that looks like gathering around it and restructuring our lives based upon it, not telling it how we want it to be and then adding it. Does that make sense? Because if we can sit in a space where we allow the word to tell us you're actually in deep need, you are broken, and that's not terrible, but this part is also available. The grace and mercy of God is fully, it's bigger than any of that, and it's available. So those two things really matter, that we would understand our limitations so that we can become comfortable with the idea of confession and repentance and the beautiful gospel the beauty of the gospel is so much bigger than our brokenness. It's such a life-giving, generative space to live within the gospel, this place of rest, the promised land they could never get to that was flowing with milk and honey. They always stood outside of it. It's that makes it worth it for us to say, we want to enter that. I want my family to enter the kind of rest that totally depends upon Jesus and not just what I want right now and not just believing the wrong things, but setting aside space to begin to foster what's in here. Even if when I read it, I think, this just feels like a bunch of rules. It's more revealing what's in me than what's in it. I have a propensity to think rules actually mean more than they do. This is saying I'm cleansing that as well. We have to give it the space it needs. I would love it if we were a community that knew the scriptures like the first century Christians did, right? Like, or even before that, the Jewish community, all the kids by the time they were 13 knew the whole Torah. Like they could read the whole book. Just walking here, that guy's 11 and he's telling us the whole book. Don't feel any pressure to do that. I'm just going to throw that out there. But to give it the kind of space it deserves so that we can have a generative life that actually produces fruit, right? We don't get to share the gospel with just words or share even a thing that we think is the most important thing if it's not coming through us. And that's the work of a life. It takes a life to do that. And so today I'm just going to ask for a couple opportunities for prayer. I think the opposite of what is being said here is And I think this equals wandering. I'm not open. I'm not open to what I could be. There's not an openness, and I'm not in need. I'm not open, and I'm not in need, which sounds a little bit like America at times and how we're created to be independent, do it yourself, get it done on your own. This is saying you need to be open to your brokenness and be honest about it and be open to the help that you need. So I don't want you to wander. I don't want us to wander. Is Becca in here? Anybody? Beautiful Becca? Anywhere? There she is. You can go ahead and come up. I want to give you the opportunity for prayer. Just real simple. A prayer of being open to how the Father wants to guide you and your family. Even if you're a professional Christian and know that you know, that you would just be open to what the work of the Spirit is trying to do in your own life. You'd be open to healing. You'd be open to the fact that you are broken in this room. You're just as broken as every other person in this room. In your brokenness, He is made strong. In your weakness, He is made strong. Make peace with that. It's not a bad thing that you're broken. It's not the reason you don't deserve Him. So that's one prayer, is just being open to what He has for you. And the second one is, if you feel like you're in deep need and you don't know how to keep going forward. And so I've asked a few people to pray. If you guys would go ahead and come forward to help in prayer. We'll have two teams. And then in the center here, you guys can actually partner up. I made a decision like 3 weeks ago in prayer. I felt like you guys can pray together over there. And then Micah and Dory, if you're someone who's like, I've been around this for a while, but I've never actually made peace with wanting to be a Jesus follower, practice the way of Jesus, we would like to offer that. And we would like to pray with you for that, for you to feel certain about that, to feel peace about it. You can pray right here for that. And so, Jesus, we just thank you that your word is alive and your grace is active. And we pray today in this church in River City that we would be recipients of all that is there. That we'd be the kind of people like the Hebrew community or like the children of Israel, that we would enter that land. Even if there's a report about giants trying to stop us, that we would enter the land, that we would enter that and live as your children, operating by grace and peace, choosing the better way, the economy of the kingdom and not the economy of this world. We're going to close with the doxology, and then we're going to create space to have this remain a prayerful sanctuary. If you'd like to continue your conversations, that's awesome. We ask that you do that in the middle area. If you'd like to receive prayer, please come forward.
So praise God from above, blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures. Son and Holy Ghost, praise God. So praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly. Son and Holy Ghost, so we say amen, amen, oh, amen, all you people who cry, amen, praise God, so praise God from blessings flow.
right. That's what I was asking, is if you're coming up. It's fine.
I'm going to sing the song over. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to.
Let it rip, man.
Three invitations today. If you'd like to help with kids ministry or hear more about it, I'd love for you to partner with Inyanam. You can do that downstairs. If you're new and you have more questions, you can meet Bess in the center atrium if you'd like prayer right here. Jesus, thank you for this community. Thank you that we get to do this together. I pray blessings over each person, each family in our city. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you again for joining us today. And please visit our website at rivercitysmyrna.com.